part of the sin of the spies, the Chet HaMeraglim, was the fact that they maligned Eretz Yisrael. As the Torah says, Vayotziu dibas ha'ores atzir toru osel b'nei Yisrael. They brought out the bad report about Eretz Yisrael, which they spied out. And Lemor, and they said, Ha'oretz asher avarnu bo lasurosa eretz oscheles yosheveshi yosheveohi. It's a land that eats up its inhabitants. The chol ha'am asher ra'inu b'socha and shemidos, and all the people we saw there were very, very big people. From this we learn, Chazal say, we learn how disastrous Lashon Hara is. If the Meraglim only spoke Lashon Hara on Eitzim and Avonim, on wood and stones, on the land, they spoke Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. And look how much they were punished. Surely someone who speaks Lashon Hara about a human being, right, who has feelings or whatever, is surely going to be punished more severely. But what do we see from here? That there was a concept of speaking Lashon Hara about the land itself, and that is prohibited. First of all, you have to understand how that works. Why is there a prohibition of speaking Lashon Hara about a land which has no feelings or whatever? Maligning the land, why is that called Lashon Hara altogether? Lashon Hara has two aspects to it. One aspect is that you're hurting somebody else. That's Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. That's between man and man. But there's a second aspect of Lashon Hara. Human beings were created to be higher than the animal, and what makes us more than the animal is our intelligence, and more specifically our speech. And speech is the main tool that a human being has to make the world a better place, to build the world, to perfect the world, both physically and spiritually. Speech is communication. Without communication, there can't be any perfection physically of the world. That's what happened by Migdal Bavel. They couldn't communicate with each other. They couldn't build the tower. They couldn't perfect the world. And speech is Torah, tefillah, davening, right? Learning Torah, speaking about things that strengthen God's purpose in this world, things that the Rabbanu Shel Olam wants strengthened, things that help to build the world physically and spiritually, all that is the function of speech. If you therefore take your speech and speak badly about things that God wants strengthened and weakens God's purpose in the world, then you are worse than an animal. And it destroys the person who speaks the Lashon Hara. It's not because of the damage that's done because of the Lashon Hara. It's because the damage that's done to the person who uses his speech in the opposite way that it was meant to be used. And therefore he loses his whole tzura, his whole appearance of a human being. Because he's using what makes him a human being in the opposite way that it was meant to be used. And therefore, Eretz Yisrael is a land that the Rabbanu Shem said or invested in it all the perfection that can be. It's the place where Klal Yisrael can develop themselves, develop a society of Torah, and Mamela perfect the world from that place. That's the place where we can achieve what we're supposed to achieve of being a Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh in its most ideal way in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore the Rabbanu Shem invested Eretz Yisrael with tremendous perfection. And somebody who maligns Eretz Yisrael is to a certain degree going against the whole purpose of creation, going against one of the things that God wants strengthened in this world. He's weakening it. And therefore, there's an idea of speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Ben Yehoyada comments on the following Gemara. The Gemara says that Rav Ami and Rav Asi used to move their students. They were giving a shiur, and if it was in the summer and they were in the sun, and it got too hot, he would move them to the shade. That means stopping the shiur right, and moving into the shade, which means bittul Torah, okay, wasting time from Torah. If it was in the winter and they were in the shade and it became too cold, they stopped the shear, they moved into the sun. Rashi says the reason was that they shouldn't complain about the weather in Eretz Yisrael. Right? They were learning in Eretz Yisrael, and he didn't want them to malign Eretz Yisrael and say the weather's no good. So, and the Rimigash says even more than that. It wasn't that he was afraid they would malign Eretz Yisrael. He just wanted to encourage them to say nice things about Eretz Yisrael, that the weather's so nice, it's nice in the sun, it's nice in the shade. So they wasted time from Torah learning in order to be able to speak nicely about Eretz Yisrael, or at least not to speak in a derogatory way about Eretz Yisrael, so how important it is. And therefore the Ben Yehoyada says, based on that, that one should not speak Lashon Hara, shouldn't malign Eretz Yisrael about anything, not about the weather, not even, he says, about the architecture of Goyisha houses in Eretz Yisrael. So that seems to limit people not saying anything bad about Eretz Yisrael. Now, does that mean there's nothing bad here? Right? You can't complain about anything? Right? If people are pushy, you can't complain about it because it's maligning Eretz Yisrael. If you can't complain about the architecture of Goyish houses, how about the politics? Can you complain about the politics in Eretz Yisrael? Right? That's lechora no worse than complaining about the Goyish architecture. So what does that mean? Does that limit us to never say anything bad about Eretz Yisrael? Right? So we're going to discuss what that means in a few seconds. The Ora Chaim HaKadosh says that Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael is evil, because a person accuses Eretz Yisrael of having something wrong with it, having deficiencies, when Eretz Yisrael is the greatest perfection that could be. It's a place with the greatest perfection that could be. So to malign Eretz Yisrael and give the impression that it's not a perfect place, God didn't invest it with perfection, but it's deficient, is an evil thing, because you are basically saying that God either made a mistake or didn't do what he said he did. And therefore, the Zohar says that Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael is like Lashon Hara about God, because God is the one who told us that this is a very perfect place, and you're saying it's not true, so basically you're maligning God. Basically the idea being, like we said, the Ribbono Shel Olam created a place in this world that has tremendous milus, tremendous potential. And he wanted, and he created a nation that has that tremendous potential. Our avos, right, served the Ribbono Shel Olam in such a perfect way that they created spiritual DNA for all their descendants to be a people who have tremendous, tremendous potential. That's what we are. That's the Jewish neshama. A non-Jew can get that neshama if he converts. But that's what a Jewish neshama is. And the place where we can bring out that potential to its highest degree is only Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael and Klal Yisrael match. And we have within us the potential that Eretz Yisrael can bring out that potential, and we can make use of what Eretz Yisrael has to bring out our potential to the greatest perfection. However, just like anything, Torah is perfect. Torah is Hashem Temima. Yet, it says that somebody who learns Torah with the wrong intention, Torah becomes a poison. It's a Samam Avos. So, how could Torah be a poison? The answer is, it's not a poison. Torah is perfect. But for someone who relates to the Torah in a negative way, for that person, the Torah becomes a poison. Just like you have a tremendous medicine. For a healthy person, it's great. But if a sick person takes that, it could kill him. Even though the medicine itself, right, the food itself is great for healthy people, but it's dangerous for sick people. So Eretz Yisrael can be dangerous, harmful, deficient for the people who are receiving it, who if they themselves are deficient or receiving something the wrong way. But that doesn't mean that Eretz Yisrael intrinsically is deficient. It's just that the people who relate to it have a problem. It's not the problem of Eretz Yisrael. Just like the Vilna Gaon says, Torah has a tremendous power of growth. Torah makes you grow. So if you have good midos, it'll make your good midos grow. But if you have bad midos, if you water weeds, weeds are going to grow too. So Torah is a tremendous elixir of life and growth. But it depends what you put it on. So if you put it on somebody who has weeds, it's going to make them grow. So it's going to be a sam hamavis, but not because the Torah intrinsically is negative, it's positive. But that positive thing, when it comes in contact with a negative person, increases the negativism of that person sometimes. Okay. That's what they said, Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Ocheles Yoshiveha, he. They said the land in its essence, essentially, intrinsically, is a land that doesn't permit people to live. Right, and what they said was, and if you think it's because of the people who live there, it's not true, because they're anshei midos. The people there are strong, tall people, so they survive. It doesn't eat them up, right? But a normal person, right? Why? Because they're all the way up there. The air up there is better, but both the air and the land itself are negative things. And if you're a regular, normal person close to the ground, the Eretz Yisrael intrinsically, its physical makeup is negative. It's not compatible with regular human beings. And therefore, not only isn't Eretz Yisrael going to give us the ability to create the ideal society and grow to the ideal level of life that we can have. It's Eretz HaChaim, it's a land of life. Because life is connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. V'atem advekim b'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kulchem hayom. So Eretz Yisrael is the land of life. But they deny that. Not only is it not the land of life, it's a land of death. It eats up its inhabitants. And they meant to say that that is intrinsically part of the essence of Eretz Yisrael. And that the Das Zakein Balei HaTosa say. That don't blame it on the people. The people are strong. But for normal people, the land itself is negative. And that's why the Meraglim, if you look, how they describe the goodness of Eretz Yisrael, as opposed to how Kalev and Yoshua described it, there's a very big difference. The Meraglim said, "Vehi zavas chalavu devash." When they were saying in the beginning good things about Eretz Yisrael, they said the following: we came to the land that you sent us to spy out. The gams of us cholavu devash he. It is also flowing with milk and honey. It flows with milk and honey, and the he follows the description of zavas cholavu devash he. V'zeh piryon. This is the fruit. When Kalev and Yoshua spoke about Eretz Yisrael, they said the following. Im chofeish banu Hashem, if God wants us, in other words, if we are fit, right, and deserving of God's will, God wants us. Behavi o son al arzah, He'll bring us to this land. Unisan al arzah, He'll give it to us. Eretz asher he zovas cholavu devash. Here they put the he before the zovas cholavu devash. Notice what they said is like this: it's not just incidental that Eretz Yisrael is a land flowing with milk and honey. It's he. It comes from the essence of the land. Because the essence is good, the results are good. The Meraglim said, yeah, there's good results there, but it doesn't come from the essence of the land. The essence of the land is separate. There are good things that can come from this land, but it's not the essence. Essentially, intrinsically, the land's not a good land. Sometimes not good things can also produce good things. But it's not the essence of the land. The essence of the land is no good. And Yoshua and colleagues said, no, it comes from the essence of the land. The fact that it's Zovas Cholav Devash is a result of the He, what it is. It is intrinsically a land that's flowing with milk and honey. The So basically, right, Kalev and Yoshua, to counteract what the Meraglim said, basically is the maligning of Eretz Yisrael is not that there are negative things there, but the essence of the land is negative. That was what they maligned. They denied the essential goodness of Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, to counteract that, how did Kalev and Yoshua try to convince the people the opposite? They said, Tova ha'aretz ma'od ma'od. The land is very, very good. Now, what does that mean, very, very good? Why didn't they say very, very, very good? How much more is very, very, more than one very? Right? It's not something you can quantify. So what it means is like this. The word ma'od, I saw the Ksav the Kabbalah says, ma'od means a lot, very. But it has another connotation, and that connotation fits with the idea of a lot or very. It says, al-odos be'er hamayim, in Bereshis, that Avram Avinu rebuked Avimelech concerning the well that his servant stole from him. So the word odos means concerning, al-esek, with concerning, that's what it is, concerning this thing. Odos means concerning. Therefore, the word ma'od means everything that is concerned with this thing, everything that is connected to this thing is good or bad. It could be rama'od, very bad, or very good. So when you put the very, it means not only is the thing good or bad, but it extends to all the other things that emanate from it, that are connected to it, that are involved with it. That's the word. The involvement of those of that thing is also good. So tov ma'o. That's why the Gemara says that tov, it says God saw the world was tov ma'od. It's very good. Tov means it has a yetzirah tov. We have a good inclination. Ma'od, it's very good, means we have a yetzirah hara. Meaning, even the fact that we have a yetzirah hara is for the good. It's not essentially good itself, but it works out for the good because we have free choice. The purpose is for good, that we should make the right choice, and we should have a choice. So what makes the world very good, not only is it intrinsically good, but even what emanates from it is good. Even the fact that we have a yetzer hara makes it very good. Similarly, the Medrash says, tov is life. God saw that everything was good, that's life. Ma'od is death. Because death also puts life into perspective. The fact that people don't live forever means that they have to feel the urgency of living a proper life. So remembering the day of death is a good incentive to live a proper life. So therefore, not only is the earth intrinsically good, it's tov me'od, everything concerning it, everything that's involved in, is basically for the good. However, that in here, when it's tov me'od, there are things that are less than good, but you can use them for the good. When Eretz Yisrael, the Meraglim said, it's tova haaretz ma'od, not only is it intrinsically good, but even the things that are seemingly negative are also for the good, but that's also ma'od, even that is for the good. And the Netziv says why. Based on this idea, the Netziv makes even more sense than just reading it stam. The Netziv says like this. Normally, if a person, what's it called, has good things, he can abuse them. He can use them for the wrong things. But in Eretz Yisrael, the special hashgacha, that if you abuse it, you'll be punished immediately. So it's not much chance for the abuse of good things to continue or to remain. It's going to be changed for the good. And Eretz Yisrael's nikta b'yisurim, right? You have to suffer a little bit. You have to work at it. So, therefore, when people get good and they don't have anything to work on, they don't have anything to make them think, then they can abuse that good and use it for the bad. But if you get the good and you have yisurim and you have to suffer and you have to work, then you usually use the good for the good. So it's tov haaretz ma'od. The land is intrinsically good. What it generates, what's involved with it, what is concerned with it, is also good, even if it appears to be bad. And not only that, even that which is appears to be bad and can be used for good is more for the good in Eretz Yisrael. It's ma'od, ma'od. The ma'od is also ma'od. That's the idea. So, in addition, I always wanted to say the idea is it says in Kriya Shema, Bechol Me'odecha. So it also means what generates from you. Your money, and all the midos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu either puts, invests in you, or how he deals with you. You should serve God with all your money. That's something that you generate. It's not you intrinsically, it's something generated by you. Your midos are not necessarily you intrinsically, it's what you generate spiritually. And the way that God deals with you, all the situations that come to you in life, make the best of them. So Eretz Yisrael is tova, it's good in every way. In the ma'od, physically, right, the generation, the what's generated physically from Eretz Yisrael, it's flowing with milk and honey. And also the ma'od of spiritual, how God deals with you there. The midos that you can get there, all of it is for the good. But there's one condition. Im chafetz banu Hashem. If God wants us, if we're fit to be wanted by God, meaning if we're functioning properly. Because if you're not functioning properly, all the good in the world, like we gave the example, something that's tremendously life-giving, but if you give it to a sick person, right, it may backfire and be dangerous, be poisonous to him. So you have to be well. And then the good of Eretz Yisrael will have a good impact on you. But if you're not well, then it very well may be because of the receiver, the good of Eretz Yisrael will turn to be bad. And that's what it says. What was the sin of the spies? Vayimasu be'eretz chemda. That's how David HaMelech in Tehillim describes the sin of the spies. What's the word? Mius means something that is disgusting. They were disgusted with the Eretz Chemda. So first of all, you have to understand what Mius is and what Chemda is. There's all different words for desirable things. Tava, Chemda. What's the difference between Taiva and Chemda? So the Mefarshim explain, Chemda is where the thing itself is intrinsically desirable. It has positive things about it that make it desirable. Taiva is from the side of the person who desires it. It may not be desirable at all, but the person who wants it, even though intrinsically it's not desirable. They said Eretz Yisrael may have good things about it, but it's not intrinsic. It's not chemda. It may be that there are good things that could be generated by Eretz Yisrael, but the land itself is not a good land. It's not a desirable land. And therefore, vayimasu. Mius means that the thing is disgusting. Eretz Yisrael is basically disgusting, even though sometimes from disgusting things, good things can come. So there are people who like sometimes good things from disgusting things, but that doesn't make the disgusting thing desirable. Right? So that's what, vayimasu be'eretz chemda. Instead of looking at Eretz Yisrael as a desirable place intrinsically, they were disgusted with that. They looked at Eretz Yisrael as disgusting, even though there are things that may be positive about it, but it's not intrinsic to the thing itself. It's separate. It's not part of the essence of the thing. And that's why it says that the Rabbanu Shem, when he punished them, said, "Ha'aretz asher ma'astem ba," the land that you were disgusted with it, meaning its essence. That's the problem. The problem is that they looked at Eretz Yisrael as something that was essentially not good, not essentially good. Okay. And therefore, bottom line is that Eretz Yisrael, in its essence, is totally good. It can generate bad things. That's not because Eretz Yisrael generates bad things. It's because the people who relate to it receive it in a way that's negative, because of the problem of the receivers. And therefore, the Torah describes Eretz Yisrael as Eretz asher lo sechzar kol bo. Eretz Yisrael lacks nothing. A lot of times in Eretz Yisrael, they were lacking. There could be a drought, a famine, right? Things that you can get in Chutz Lars that you can't get here. When I first moved to Eretz Yisrael, you couldn't get star-kissed tuna, you couldn't get Hellman's mayonnaise, the major staples of life didn't exist here. People used to send them on boats, in lifts, right? Cases and cases of Hellman's mayonnaise and breakfast cereals or whatever. Now you can get it all here, but it wasn't missing anything. maybe what it's missing is not because Eretz Yisrael doesn't have the ability to provide these things. It's two other possibilities. One is you don't need it. It's not necessarily positive. And second possibility is it may be positive and you may need it, you don't deserve it. So it's not that Eretz Yisrael can't provide it, it's you don't deserve to get it from Eretz Yisrael. But not that Eretz Yisrael is deficient. That's the idea. And therefore, the Sfarim say that really seeing the good of Eretz Yisrael depends on how fit a person you are. The Kotzker Rebbe says that the Meraglim were told, you go and see Hatova Ha'aretz Imra'a. Simple meaning, go see if it's good or if it's bad. How could Moshe Rabbeinu leave open the possibility that Eretz Yisrael is bad? So he says it means something different. Hatova hi, you come back and say it's good, Imra'a, even if you think it's bad. Because I'll show you that it's only bad in your eyes, but essentially it's good, except you don't know how to appreciate that good. I'll tell you how to appreciate it. So even the bad in Eretz Yisrael is only in the eyes of the beholder. But essentially, right, Eretz Yisrael is a good place. Same thing, one Hasidic Rebbe gave a marshal. He said that Eretz Yisrael dresses up for the people who deserve to be dressed up for. But for people who don't deserve it, Eretz Yisrael doesn't look at its best. He said a wife who's married to a very, very good husband will want to please him and dress up her finest way to make him feel good. But if she's married to a bum, right, she's not interested in making her husband happy, right, because her husband makes her life Gehenna, so she doesn't dress up for her husband. So same thing, Eretz Yisrael dresses up for people who deserve it, doesn't dress up for people who don't deserve it. And therefore, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin that someone who recognizes the good of Eretz Yisrael, it shows something good about him, because he's able to relate to that. That means that he is sensitive to that good. Therefore, Nebuchadnezzar, even though he basically was a Russian, but he said, I'll give you a land as good as the land you have, not better. So he recognized that Eretz Yisrael is a pretty good land. He's not going to find someplace better. So he was given a positive name. He was extolled and given praise based on this. It showed that there was something good about him. If you can see the good in Eretz Yisrael, then there's something good in you, because it means that you're in tune with that. On the other hand, there was a Jew who said, let's search out the abominations of Yerushalayim. And they said, if you're looking for the bad, if you see bad in Eretz Yisrael, then it must be something wrong in you. Because if you would be on the right level, you'd see the good. And if you're looking for the bad, it's because it's you that are receiving that bad. Something's wrong with you. They checked up and they found out that he was not a kosher Jew. Something was wrong with his background. The Nitziv says, okay, we said it right, the Nitziv says that that's why ma'od ma'od, even the things that are good, that sometimes can be abused, in Eretz Yisrael, the Rabban Shem sees to it that it's harder to abuse them, and that they remain good. And therefore, bottom line, so can you speak badly about Eretz Yisrael? Yes and no. It's like any Lashon Hara. If there's a toeles, right, if there is a benefit, and you don't exaggerate, and you're doing it for the benefit, right, then you can speak Lashon Hara. Okay, however, how does Lashon Hara have to be? The following. You can't say Eretz Yisrael is intrinsically no good, and therefore buildings can't be built here nicely. It's the nature of the land to have bad architecture. That is Dibas Haaretz. That you can't say for anything. You can't complain about the weather. The weather in Eretz Yisrael is intrinsically, Eretz Yisrael is a land with bad weather. You're not allowed to say that. What can you say? What you can say is the following. Eretz Yisrael has the potential to be perfect, except sometimes we are not fit to have that perfection, and therefore the weather is not good for us. Therefore, the houses are being built not properly, not because Eretz Yisrael intrinsically is tuned with that kind of bad architecture, just that people are abusing the potential that Eretz Yisrael has and not using it out. politics. You can say that there are people who totally abuse how to function and how to act, and created a political system that is totally distorted, but it's not because Eretz Yisrael is intrinsically, that's the kind of politics that is fit for Eretz Yisrael. No. Eretz Yisrael is fit for the most ideal kind of society. But the people have abused that and have taken what could be ideal and have abused it. So you can speak Lashon Hara about negatives and point out the negatives of Eretz Yisrael as long as it fits all the rules of when you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara altogether. And it doesn't imply that this is essential to Eretz Yisrael, but rather it's an abuse by the people who are not using Eretz Yisrael properly. Then that's not called Dibas Haaretz. Those two conditions. If those two conditions aren't met, then even to speak about the weather in Eretz Yisrael is wrong, right? Because if you give the impression that this is the essential climate in Eretz Yisrael and it's less than perfect, there's something negative about the climate of Eretz Yisrael. It's not that the climate of Eretz Yisrael potentially could be great, but unfortunately sometimes the people who live here, right, are not fit to benefit from that. And for them, therefore, it's less than desirable and less than perfect, because we don't deserve that perfection. But it's not because Eretz Yisrael has a bad climate. It's because the people who live here don't deserve that good climate that's essential to Eretz Yisrael and get something that's less than desirable. That's the difference. And I found two quotes to how bad it is to speak Lashon Hara and how good it is to speak nice things about Eretz Yisrael. The Hakdama to the Sefer Tov Haaretz, Tov Haaretz, from Reb Nosson Shapiro. He writes the following: Lahodia Livnei Ha'adam Gvuros Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. It's a mitzvah to let people know the holiness, the strength of the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. Bechol Yom uVechol Shah, every day and every minute. Hema Yabitu VeYiru. Liskor pi dovrei sheker motzi divas haaretz. In order to shut the mouth of those people who speak lies and bring out and malign Eretz Yisrael, who malign Eretz Yisrael and those that live there. Sosam piem betanos baomram sha hayu seder zmanim kodem lechein the ata lochein nosan Hashem bekirba. They say that the Eretz Yisrael doesn't have chein. It's not a desirable place. They said that today Eretz Yisrael lost its glory. Right? We're in Golis or whatever. They don't say that it's because of the receivers. They say that Eretz Yisrael itself has intrinsically changed. It's not a good place anymore. That is also a terrible maligning of Eretz Yisrael. Mi yitein hacharish yachrishu. Better they should keep quiet. Velo yosifu ol bal charon afu elokim. Asher be'avoso. Mishtater imanu, umishtate bitzareinu. L'maisa, the Rabbanu Shel Olam loves Klal Yisrael, and he loves Eretz Yisrael, and it pains him that we're in Golus, right? Hu ziva, hu hoda, kol hayomim, and God is with us. We may not recognize it, but he never takes away that tremendous perfection and potential from Eretz Yisrael. The elu kfuye tova. The people who malign Eretz Yisrael have no gratitude. Hashotim b'tzarei b'tzarei tzion ol al dumyonim akozeves hayom yiyah kamosam. And they don't think that even Sanchorev, who was Sanchorev, not Nebuchadnezzar, Sanchorev, who spoke good about Eretz Yisrael, even though it was a Russia, the Navi speaks goodly about him. There's something good about him if he can see the good in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, therefore, the Sefer Kedusha Sa'ara says, Ashrei ha'ish ha'melitz tov u'medaber b'shvachas Eretz Yisrael. Fortunate is the person who speaks goodly about Eretz Yisrael and says positive things about it. The nechshev kilu mesaper b'shvachas shemakom. It's considered like he's speaking positive things about God. Shari atidu Yerushalayim likro b'shem Hashem. Because in the future, Yerushalayim is going to be called on God's name. Eretz Yisrael and God mesh, because the Rabbanu Shem put all this tremendous potential in Eretz Yisrael that we can use it to get close to him. So godliness and what Eretz Yisrael possesses are one and the same. And the Torah says, Kosvalonu, Shinosin Lanu Eretz Tova Rechava, Bavadai Osir Lachor Velidrosh Bemahi Tova. Therefore, if God said it's good, a good land, accept that. How can you argue and disagree with God? And if you speak badly about the land, you're speaking badly about God, because he's the one who told us that it's good. You have to believe that living in Eretz Yisrael ultimately is for your good, if you deserve it, and if you use it properly. Like a person believes that sitting in the sukkah is for his good. It's going to benefit him eternally good. Same thing, living in Eretz Yisrael is the same kind of mitzvah, living in the sukkah. So, if you believe that the mitzvah of sukkah is to your good eternally, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is to your good eternally, even if you may not see it. Right? This was part of the sin of the Dor HaMidbar. They sent spies, and they denied that Eretz Yisrael is intrinsically good. They said the land itself is not, doesn't have that perfection. It's intrinsically not a good land. And even though there may be good things that come from it, intrinsically it's not like that. And the emes is just the opposite. It's a land that's good intrinsically. Not only that, what emanates from it, even what appears to be bad, is for the good. And even that is minimized how much it's even temporarily bad because of the nature of Eretz Yisrael. That's Tova Haaretz Ma'od. The Tova, the good is good. What emanates from it, which may not look good on the short term, is also for the good. That's Ma'od. And even that on the short term is much easier to be good than in other places. That's Eretz Yisrael. So understanding that, and the person being mechazik himself, and appreciating Eretz Yisrael, especially those people who come from Chutz La'aretz and have already made the sacrifices to be here, should not ruin that by not seeing the good in Eretz Yisrael and complaining. And if you're going to complain, at least complain in a way that's permissible, not blaming it on Eretz Yisrael, blame it on, unfortunately, the people who abuse what Eretz Yisrael has to give. Just to end with a story, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Mivitebsk came from Europe, I think in the 1840s, and he made a tremendous party for his students about 40 days after he came here. They asked him, what's the party? He said, I'll tell you. Before I came here, a mekubel told me that when I will set foot in Eretz Yisrael, I'll see that every rock is a diamond. And I set foot in Eretz Yisrael, I didn't see any diamonds. So plenty of rocks, but no diamonds. And it really bothered me. So I fasted for 40 days straight, eating at night and fasting in the daytime. This morning I opened the windows and I saw that every rock is a diamond. So today's a party. Meaning, every rock is a diamond. You just have to be able to see it. And you need to be on the level, right? For some people, what is a rock, a stumbling block, right? For other people, if you know how to use it properly, what Eretz Yisrael has to offer, and how to use it in the proper way, then that rock may be a diamond for you if you know how to appraise it and assess it properly.